Dear friends in Christ Jesus, who is our resurrected Lord and Savior, this time of adjusting schedules and staying at home has certainly led to an opportunity for us to sit back and contemplate our lives a bit and to think about what's really important. I'm sure each of you have had plenty of moments in the last couple months where you've had time for deeper reflection, for thinking about things with a little bit more clarity. But the thing is, just because we have more time to do this doesn't mean that it always occupies our time. Whenever things open up on our schedules and our lives change a bit and our routine is shifted, those opportunities can be filled with other things as well. An opening of time can lead to an increase of worry and stress, to greater anxiety and concern about what's going on in the world around us. Certainly, that has probably been the case for many of us as well in the last couple months. We can occupy that free space in our minds with sinful things as well, like lusts or thoughts about others that aren't right, or growing doubts and fears that lead us to distrust God. It's well established that the major changes in our lives can lead to all of these things, even when we have more free time. And when we encounter moments like this, the worry and fear can grow and build because it's difficult for us to process this new thing that we're going through. To process something in mental or spiritual terms simply means to make an understanding of it, to come to grips with it, and to learn what the point and the purpose is. Sometimes it's difficult for us to do that, especially in situations that are beyond our control. No doubt that during these days, it's hard for us to always make sense of everything going around us and how rapidly life is changing from day to day. It's hard to process those things. And because of that, sometimes we use unhealthy ways to mask our concerns or to cover up our feelings or behaviors to make us feel more comfortable. At other times, we fail to process things because we feel paralyzed in life. We simply don't really know what to do. We don't really know why we're feeling the way that we do. My guess is that most of us are probably in that latter scenario where we feel a bit paralyzed, a bit unsure, not really knowing why we feel the uneasiness that we do. That's because we're all in uncharted territory in our lives right now. None of us has really experienced something like this virus as we're going through right now. And that feeling of unknown and uncertainty makes it difficult to process those events, makes it difficult for us to find the meaning behind it, to understand it. That unrest is well known, but the difficult thing is that it's hard to describe. It's hard to put into words. I think we've all felt it a bit, and some of us perhaps more than others. I think of it personally as kind of feeling on edge, where you have this unrest in your heart, this uneasiness about your life, this feeling of fear and worry, but it's hard to put your finger on exactly why that's the case. It's hard to put into words. And when you can't put something into words, it makes it even harder to process it. This unrest leads us, as I mentioned, to sometimes respond with behaviors that are uncharacteristic of our normal lives. Sometimes that on-edge feeling leads us to lash out against others. It leads us to fits and bouts of anger and hostility. Sometimes it leads us to shut down in our lives and to be distant from others. At other times, it leads us to have delusional thoughts, perhaps of a spiritual nature where we feel like God is up against us or God is not in control. Or maybe it's a delusional thought in a relationship of ours where we feel like somebody is threatening us or somebody is against us. There's all sorts of ways that we try to mask the uneasiness that's inside of us because it gives us a greater sense of control in the present, in the here and now. One way that I like to think of this is kind of like putting together a puzzle. And it's quite interesting to me that at this time of stay at home and quarantine, it seems like everybody's doing a puzzle of some kind. I went to the store a couple weeks ago and the puzzles were all out of stock, because not only does it give us something to do with our time, it gives us a way to stimulate our brain and a healthy activity to take up the free time. But I think people also enjoy doing puzzles because it gives a sense of control. It gives us a sense that we're doing something, that we're accomplishing something, that we're putting pieces back together where they belong, so that it may become complete. Perhaps doing puzzles is a subconscious way for us to try to control the things that we can't on the outside, the missing pieces of life that are making us feel that uneasiness and that feeling of being on edge. Now, we talk about this today not to spiral down further into that feeling of helplessness, not to just sit here and talk about those feelings of fear that we have. We can talk about these things today, especially in God's house, around His Word, because God gives us a solution to that problem. God fills in the missing pieces. God is able to forgive us. God is able to comfort us. God is able to instill hope in our hearts, even in the most desperate situations. God is able to renew and build us up through His Word, to encourage us in the difficult tasks that we face. God has both power and love. He comes to us with the full authority of the Creator and Almighty God, but also the tender touch of our Good Shepherd, as we talk about today. But especially for that problem of unrest and uneasiness. At the times of life where we feel that unsettledness in our heart and we can't really put a description to it, God is able to bring completion. That's where we bring our thoughts to the words of our text for today and consider these words from the book of Hebrews. We read chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The simple message of these words from God can be condensed into this. Now may the God of peace make you complete. That is the purpose of these words. That is what we gain and we learn from in these words. That is what gives us comfort and encouragement in our faith and moving forward in the week ahead. This is the confidence we have as believers in Jesus Christ, that no matter what we face, God will make us complete. It is a simple message. It is a sweet message. It is direct and to the point. But what a blessing in these words that God also expanded on that single thought and added more to it. Because the stability of our hope and the certainty of that confidence that we have that God will bring completion to our lives is all about what Jesus Christ did for us. And how beautiful a picture it is that in this text itself, God takes this promise and He surrounds it with the work of Jesus. And that's almost a picture of what He will do in your life, that He will surround you with the blessings and promises of Jesus. And so we continue with the adding to that thought by recognizing that God says, Jesus, whom God brought up from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, to Him be glory forever and ever. Now, a key word in this text is the substance of that promise God makes, that He will make you complete. This is a very unique word in the Bible. It's a very interesting word as well. Really, what it means is to make something adequate or sufficient. Think of it as filling in the missing pieces. If we go back to that illustration of the puzzle, a puzzle is not complete until each piece is put in its proper place. And that's really what that word indicates here, is that God is able to put everything in its proper place at its proper time and bring adequacy, sufficiency, completion. Even more basic than that, And what also makes this word very interesting is that it goes back to the illustration of fixing something or mending something. It's actually used in the gospel accounts when the disciples were described as mending their fishing nets along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. That's the very word used there, that they were fixing them. They were putting them back so that they would be adequate for their intended purpose. Obviously, when God promises to do this for us, it's quite a comforting picture. Consider some of the other scripture references that use this very same word. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, "Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." What a wonderful farewell that Paul was able to give to the beloved Christians there in the city of Corinth. That he says, you are complete in God. You are put together back again after your sin. You are mended by God for your intended purpose. Galatians 6:1 is another reference. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." It's sad that we often look at being sorry for our sins and repenting of them before God and before one another as a burdensome task, as something that we don't like to do. But in Galatians here, it says that God has given us repentance as a gift, as a tool to help us become complete before God again. 1 Peter 5:10 is another good reference that says, "Now the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you had suffered a little." These thoughts in 1 Peter are very similar to our verse today in Hebrews, where God says he will personally come to you and restore you, to mend your life, to bring you back, to fill in those missing pieces. And the last reference I wanted to add here is another one from the book of Hebrews, a couple chapters before our text. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, this word comes up in the verse where it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things that were visible." The word there comes up with it when it talks about the framing of the worlds, the framing of the universe, that God put that together. He mended the universe together. He made it complete in his power as creator. What an amazing thought that the God who did that with the infinite universe around us that we can't even fully explore or comprehend, the very same God says he will come to you personally and make you complete. It's really this lack of completeness that leaves us with that empty uneasiness in our hearts when times are unusually stressful or out of our control. Oftentimes, the sinful reactions we have toward one another are attempts by us to grasp in the darkness of that uneasiness to try to find a solution. But God says we don't have to act like that. We don't have to try to strive and grasp for things beyond our control just because we're worried about not having that control. The primary thought here is that God promises to help. Sometimes we're led astray to doubt what God promises in his word because of the situations that we're in, because of the difficulties that we face. Sometimes we're tempted and led to believe that God's word just isn't complete. It isn't adequate for every problem. Isn't it often the highly trained, intellectual, enlightened, modern mind that thinks that God's word may be useful, but not for every problem that I face? God's word may be helpful, but it can't tell me as much as that expert might say, or as what that therapeutic technique will help do. Part of the problem that we face is when we grasp in the darkness for solutions that cannot fill our need as well as God can. God's message is simple and sweet. He says he can make you complete, and he does that through the message of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us not push that aside or push that on the back burner just because we're familiar with it, or just because the world advertises or offers something that seems new and exciting to our ears. God is equipped for every problem we face, every trial we go through, every helpless feeling we have, every hardship we struggle with, because all of those things go back to the reality of sin. And only God has dealt with that problem of sin. It was for the purpose of handling sin, for the purpose of destroying the effects of sin, that the thoughts in the rest of our text come in. God raised his son from the dead. Jesus is the good shepherd who tends and cares for your life. The guarantee of the blessings we have in God's name as delivered through his word are sealed with the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. A testament that God says is even stronger than the greatest bond or testament we can see in the world around us. It's as if God etched into stone for eternity, never to be undone, that we have blessings in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and things that can be a source of comfort and solution to any problem that we face in the world. Now, when we talk about sin being the cause of these things that we face and these feelings that we have to break that down a little bit to understand it well. Now, it's certainly clear that there are plenty of times where our own personal sins give us problems. Because of the stubbornness of our hearts, because of the inward inclination of our flesh, because of the corruptness of our natures, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. Sometimes we do the very things that lead us to heartache and uneasiness in our hearts. This is certainly a real aspect of our lives. And in those moments, God calls us to repent. King David was an example of that. He describes the repentance that God led him to by pointing out David's sin, but also the blessings that came through that with God's forgiveness. In Psalm 51, David described that by saying, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." All of these sentiments that David expresses are about his personal sin. He's talking about what he needs to bring to God in repentance, because David has gotten in his own way. David has created problems and heartaches in his life. And there's a beauty to repenting and confessing our sins before God, because it allows us to bring those things to him and leave them at his throne. So in our lives too, just like David, we should stand ready to confess our sins when we have gotten in the way of our faith life with God. So sometimes the uneasiness that we feel, sometimes that on-edge attitude, is due to an unrepentant thought or sin in our hearts. And that spiritual fog of uncertainty and that feeling of angst in our hearts that is hard to put a word to can grow and develop when we let sin live and grow in our lives. God has given us repentance to cleanse that filth out and create a new heart. But at other times, that helpless feeling in our hearts is present even when we haven't committed a particular sin that has led to it. Sometimes it's just there because we're living in a sinful world. The virus that we're facing is a perfect example of that. I wouldn't say that the virus is due to any one particular sin that any of us has committed, but it is an effect of living in a fallen world. God did not design the world to have sickness, disease, and viruses. Those things are a result of sin. There are a host of other sorrows, pains, and disturbances of our heart, mind, and body that are not due to specific sins in our lives, but because we are living in a sinful world. Sometimes those troubles can be harder to overcome for us because it's not simply a matter of turning to God in repentance for something we've done and being forgiven. But it's something that God must fix in His way and in His own time. It's a tragedy in that sense that is really beyond our control in a much greater way than our own personal sins. Not that we can atone for our sins on our own, but when something is happening in the world around us as a product of sin's existence, we ultimately have to wait for God's final deliverance of this world in order to be fully freed from that. But for even times like this, God is able to make you complete. The work that Christ accomplished through His death and resurrection did in fact mean something very personal for you. Christ says in His word that He died for the sins of the whole world, and that means you, that Christ personally calls you by the gospel. But the death and resurrection of our Savior does more than just conquer something personally in our lives. It changes the whole world too. It set in motion another promise from God, sealed in the blood of His Son, not a personal righteousness for us, but a final rendering of all sin and all of its effects for the entire world. A time when all pain, sorrow, heartache, stress, uneasiness will be done away with forever. Amending not just for your heart, but for every aspect of life. This is how God makes good on His promise to bring total completion, total restoration. It's our hope that despite the feelings that we have today, despite all of the things in the world that we can't control, despite not even knowing at times how to describe that on-edge feeling in our hearts, that we have this certain, sure hope that God will bring completion. God will put all those missing pieces back together, not just for your heart, but for the whole world. The resurrection of Christ is your assurance right now that that promise will not fail. So today, we have to wait. Today we wait, but we are not hopeless because God has given His word of truth, His word of peace, His word of comfort to remind us each and every day that that promise is coming and that that promise will not fail. Though we wait for something that we have not seen yet, the total restoration of the world around us where God will fix every problem, there is one person who has seen that and recorded it. The Apostle John tells us what he saw, what God allowed him to see with the vision of the new heavens and the new earth in the book of Revelation. Listen to what John says about what he saw. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will no longer exist, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And he said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." That's our glimpse into God's total completion. And these words were made possible by Jesus our Savior. Not only did He accomplish everything that they promise, but He allowed someone like John, by inspiration, to record them for our benefit. It is no coincidence that God commanded John, "Write, for these things are true and certain," because He wants you to know about them today, to believe and trust in His promises just as much as the one who saw them through this vision and this revelation. This is the hope that we have right now, even though we're waiting, a hope for when we're at a loss for words, A hope for when we've sinned by lashing out at others in uneasiness. A hope for when we've failed by grasping at other methods of completion that are not as real and promising as what Christ has done for us. This promise is the light that shines in the darkness of the world around us, in the wickedness and sin of our lives, in that uneasiness and uncertainty of not knowing what will come. So as our text concludes, let us rejoice. Let us seek Jesus in his word. Let us cling to his promises by faith. Let us exercise works of service, glory, and worship in his name, just as he has prepared for us by the Holy Spirit. Because in him, you are complete. Thanks be to God who gives us this victory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.